This is the Fantasy Fast Track with Brandon Funston and Brad Evans.
Ready, set, go! This is a Fantasy Fast Track podcast. I'm Brad the Big Noise Evans, joined by Senior Fun Buns Brandon Funston from The Athletic. And we got some devastating news, Brandon, as running backs and marquee names are under attack as the injury imp is once again running amok in fantasy land. And the injury imp really loves the flesh of one Christian McCaffrey, as mysteriously he exited the game on Sunday. Cam Newton, the wheels fall off. He falls into this canyon. You know, it's like a scene out of a Wile E. Coyote cartoon. And, you know, you just see the puff of dirt that comes up at the canyon floor. That was Cam Newton, because it started off hot. You know, he had the Acme explosives. He was, you know, he's going to get that dastardly Roadrunner. Today's the day. And the next thing you know, he's the one that's at the bottom of the canyon. And it all went terribly wrong. And McCaffrey, you know, rolled his ankle, injured it, was on the sideline, and reported during the broadcast of the game that he was probable to return in the second half. But because the game script got out of control, they decided to keep him on the sideline. Well, we learn on Monday that he is done, as he was placed on season-ending injured reserve. So, you know, we're getting a lot of questions on social media. Again, follow Funson there, at Brandon Funson. Follow me there, at Noisy Huevos, about Chuba Hubbard. Or is it Amir Abdullah? Or is it just a stay away? What are your thoughts here in Carolina?
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter. It is Chuba Hubbard. It is Amir Abdullah. It is a split backfield for an offense that is cratering big time. And Cam Newton played, what, about 5-6 good quarters? So we knew we were on borrowed time with Cam Newton playing well. Now we don't even know what's going on. You've got bench for P.J. Walker. Not that P.J. Walker has ever come in and made things a quarterback controversy. But things are looking bad for Carolina. I'm not into, you know, chasing down the Chuba Hubbard. This is not what we saw earlier in the year. When they had Sam Darnold and Chuba Hubbard was getting most all the touches and kind of being a one-for-one touch replacement with Christian McCaffrey. That is not where we're at anymore. So I think you can do better. I mean, there's guys like Dontrell Hilliard and you know, other guys out there that you would be better off chasing than Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah, there's some people that are into the cranberry sauce, yeah, during the holidays. Yeah. I
put it on everything.
See, I think you're disgusting. I am not one of those individuals. Now, it's weird. Like, I like cranberry in general, like cranberry juice, but it's full of sugar. There's a reason why I probably like it. Then again, like the canned cranberry stuff is probably the same. But look, it's split here. You're either on one side of the fence or the other. There's no gray area in between. And I'm with Brandon here. I mean, there's only one decent matchup remaining for them as well. And yeah, it's Atlanta coming off the bye in week 14. And then the fantasy playoff schedule is at Buffalo, Tampa, at New Orleans. Yuck, yuck, and yuck.
Yuck, yuck, and yuck.
Yeah, so you want no part of this backfield. Do not overpay for Chuba Hubbard. Do not overpay for Amir Abdullah unless you're absolutely desperate at running back and you are devoid of any other alternatives available on waivers. That here is the moral of the story. With that, let's get to it with another edition of the Fantasy Five.
Number five.
All right, every Monday here on the Fantasy Fast Track podcast, we talk waiver wire. And we're just going to assume nobody's got any money left. You know, people were making it rain. We've had so many injuries, COVID issues. See Dallas, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
We don't know who's sick. We know that Mike McCarthy's out for Thursday night. We don't know who else is going to be available. Maybe Troy Aikman is going to come down from the ivory tower and play quarterback for them if something, God forbid, happened to Dak or whatever. But it's a pretty ugly situation there, and it's really, you know, the same blots that are all over fantasy land right now. So people need help, Brandon. We do have four teams on bye this week: Tennessee, Carolina, Cleveland, and Green Bay. So Aaron Rodgers backers in particular, this one is for you. Stream quarterback of the week. Anybody tickle your fancy?
Well, there's a guy that's available 95% of Yahoo leagues right now and could have a, you know, be a very someone that people are eager to grab, and that's Taysom Hill. If we know he's going to be the quarterback against Dallas on Thursday, look, he is, I think, the better version of Cam Newton, the good version of Cam Newton, the last week's version of Cam Newton, a guy that you go into each game thinking Taysom Hill could probably rush for a touchdown in this game. Oh, but you know what? He's actually a better passer right now at this point in his career than Cam Newton. So I'm in on Taysom Hill in more than just this week, as more of like, look, I have quarterback issues. I need a long haul replacement. Taysom Hill could actually be that guy. If I'm strictly just going like this is a 1 week plug and play, you know, Taylor Heineke would have to be right up there as well,
yeah,
going against the Las Vegas Raiders, who have a 20-4 TD to interception ratio allowed. And three of those interceptions came in one game to Teddy Bridgewater. So this is a pretty toothless secondary, and Heineke's been rolling. We'll see how he does on Monday night against my Seattle Seahawks, but he's been rolling of late.
Yeah, look, I don't blame you there. And, you know, some people may be a little bit skittish, too, about Jalen Hurts with the ankle, though Nick Sirianni came out and said that they're hopeful that he's going to be able to play. And it's, you know, a great match if we get the Jets. If he doesn't go, like Gardner Minshew, maybe? Yeah. Seriously.
Ooh, Gardner Minshew time.
Yeah, yeah. Break out your sleeveless jean jackets. Right. In honor of Gardner Minshew.
Button that down to the belly button. Unbutton it to the belly button.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Expose the man fur there and let everybody run your fingers through it. I think it's a great call on those options. I mean, Taysom Hill has to be the most coveted. I was originally going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo, but now with this Deebo Samuel news, I'm going to pivot, as Deebo Samuel's going to miss some time with the injured love muscle that he experienced yesterday. But it's Taysom Hill or bust. And listen, folks, he's only – yeah, you know, like Brandon said, 95% available, so 5% rostered right now in Yahoo leagues, and you know, even like you said, a long term solution. He's basically Jalen Hurts, except he was more accurate. He was inside the top 15 in adjusted completion percentage last season, and he was QB10 over a 4-game stretch as a starter, weeks 11-14 a season ago. So hopefully get Alvin Kamara back, but even with the cupboard bare in terms of receiving talent there, Taysom Hill through his duality alone has him firmly planted in the RB, actually QB1, because he'll function more like an RB, which will really raise the floor conversation. With that, next topic.
Number 4.
All right, and the next topic is Kendrick Bourne of the New England Patriots. Do you have a Bourne identity, Brandon? Are you willing to pick him up if he needs some wide receiver help? He's wide receiver 23 over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah. Been a Bourne supremacy over the last 6 weeks. Absolutely. You know, I think the good news here with New England is they went from this is their, you know, I think they're starting to reap the spoils of being such a good running team that you can, you know, when you have an established fear of the running game, you can play off of that with play action. And we're starting to see all these guys. Jacoby Myers had a good game.
Yep.
Kendrick Bourne had a good game and had, you know, a couple touchdowns. I think those two are the guys that I would be chasing after. And Kendrick Bourne's been my favorite guy of this group for the last few weeks. I think Jacoby Myers still has utility in, you know, competitive 12-team leagues and deeper. Nelson Agholor still feels a little bit more like the wild card roll of the dice. But I feel like if the matchup's good, you can feel pretty good about Bourne and even Jacoby Myers as well.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at some of his advanced analytics, and man, do they really just jump off the screen. 9.15 yak per reception over his last six games. 15.42 yards per target. Oh, man, it's making me drool. That's ridiculous. That's like Deebo Samuel numbers, especially the yak per reception category. It's crazy.
Yeah. He used to be a teammate of Deebo Samuel, so maybe pick something up along the way.
Yeah, some transitive property there in some way. but, yeah, look, Mac Jones has got terrific accuracy. Got a couple of nice matchups upcoming. You got Indy, Jacksonville, and you get Buffalo this week. And again, Buffalo's down Tre'Davious White. So, yeah, look, I am down with Kendrick Bourne as somebody you could pick up and plug in 14-team or deeper league as a wide receiver 3 or a flex option. Ride the Patriots.
Number 3.
All right, let's move on. How about Matt Breida, my man? Speaking of the Buffalo Bills, they're taking on New England. Wow, I can't wait for that matchup on Monday Night Football. Should be a massive showdown, and I think it will really show the true colors of New England Patriots if they are contenders in the AFC and they go in to Western New York and knock off the Bills. That's going to have everybody on notice. They should be shivering in their cleats as a result. But Matt Breida, is his role growing, and is he worth any kind of investment?
I mean, this is competitive league stuff. We know the Bills' backfield. It was Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. Now it's Matt Breida and Devin Singletary. This is a Bills team that'll be loath to ever lean on this backfield. In fact, there's only been Devin Singletary in this last week. In the same game that we're talking about, Matt Breida had 15 carries. That's the first time since week five that a Bills running back has reached double-digit touches in the carry capacity. I mean, when they can throw the ball, they will. They will, you know, begrudgingly give their running backs the ball sometimes, but this is nothing you can ever hang your hat on. And they are second lowest in running back rushes per game, and they're splitting that second lowest number. So hard for me to get excited. I know you're in like a 20-team league, a 14-team or 16-team league. Yeah, you have to take anybody who's pushing double-digit touches seriously. So in that regard, sure. But in general, no.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got some flex appeal. I really do. And I think he's going to get 10 to 12 touches weekly. So, again, I think he's going to be able to maintain that level of flex value over the next, several weeks down the home stretch here in an explosive offense. Devin Singletary's been rather unexciting. Zach Moss was not even active for the last game. He's fallen out of favor there. You know, he played those team or season high 21 snaps against the Saints with a 54 total yards and a score on those 11 touches. He's going to be touchdown or bust, week in and week out. But I do like the matchup against the New England Patriots because they have given up a lot of catches to the running back position in yards, but they've been bend don't break. I think they've given a one receiving touchdown at the running back position this season. So, Breida, again, if you're desperately seeking some options, worth a few bucks. If you got any Fab dollars left, or if you don't, and he clears waivers, or you have a higher waiver priority, maybe not the top one, but a higher one, yeah, cast him a line. You might find him at least serviceable here in these money-making weeks.
Number two.
All right, let's talk about a guy that is at the top of the list of most leagues because he is available in about 60% of Yahoo leagues, and that is Jamal Williams, Brandon. And you might say to yourself, a lion? Really? Toothless? Those bastards, sickly lions? Not worthy of a mane? Not worthy of your attention at all? But with DeAndre Swift listed as day-to-day with that shoulder injury, and, frankly, that's a positive outcome because it was a scary-looking injury. He was on the ground on Thanksgiving Day against the Bears for quite a while. But let's say he misses some time. You get the Minnesota Vikings this week at home. Detroit's been competitive, at least, and what we do know is that Jared Goff, all he does is check down. So is Jamal Williams somebody, if you got any money left, you throw everything at him?
Yeah, especially, we're in win now mode. Like, we need to get, we need to pick up a win to try to get yourself kind of advanced into the playoffs. And Jamal Williams perfectly situated for that with the matchup against Minnesota, with the fact that DeAndre Swift probably going to be out, with the fact that in any kind of PPR juiced league, Jamal Williams is going to get peppered. He had 8 catches in week one, 5 catches in kind of basically replacing DeAndre Swift in that game on Thanksgiving Day. I think you can feel good about if he's the guy and no DeAndre Swift, probably 5 is your starting point in receptions and you go up from there.
Yeah. And again, put it in perspective here. This is how bad Minnesota has been defensively on a per game basis. They have now cracked the top 10. So they're number 10 in most fantasy points allowed to the position. And just doing some instant math here, and of course I'm 100% calculating all this in my head, no use of calculators whatsoever. They've given up. Oh God, I totally screwed that up. So
I keep Alexa around my house for just this reason. I just ask Alexa to do math for me. And that works out pretty well.
Yeah, my fingers aren't fast enough here using this a very complicated machine called a calculator to give me the correct answer. They've given up 138.1 total yards per game, 4.7 yards per carry, and 11 touchdowns in 11 games to the running back position. So, this could be like a 5-7 catch game for Jamal Williams, and that's really where he's going to make his hay. Don't count on a whole lot of yards between the tackles because Detroit doesn't run the ball enough unless they're somehow in a positive game script scenario. But then again, it's Minnesota. They're always, nip and tuck in every single matchup. But, dude, I'm going to rank him top 20 this week. And you're right. It is win now. Go big or go home mode. So if you're in that situation, you're scratching clawing to try to get in the postseason, do whatever you can to get Jamal Williams on your roster and definitely get him in your lineup this week against those sorrowful Minnesota Vikings.
number one.
Oh, speaking of those sorrowful Minnesota Vikings, Dalvin Cook, torn labrum. Good thing he's not a Major League Baseball pitcher. And a dislocated shoulder. We don't know how many games he's going to miss. We know he's going to miss multiple games, Brandon. We'll see if he lands on IR. But Alexander Mattison back in the saddle yet again. And if you recall, let me refresh your memory. Because I know you try to want to, you know, get this out of your head from what he did to your Seattle Seahawks earlier this season. But remember, in two starts for the Vikings this year, he went for 153 total yards and a touchdown against Detroit and won on 32 touches. And on the other one, he was well north of 120 combined yards as well. Didn't find the end zone against Seattle. That was in weeks 3 and 5. And he was number 6 and number 7, respectively, in those weeks in fantasy points scored at the running back position. So get Detroit in a rematch now upcoming. We know they rank inside the top 5 most fantasy points allowed. No business being available in fantasy leagues, correct?
No, he's probably a top 5 play. And this is funny. I'm looking back to last year. He had two big games. His two biggest games were also against Detroit and Seattle. He had 20 carries, 112 rushing yards, and 24 receiving yards against Seattle. Then week 17, 24 touches, 145 yards from scrimmage, and 2 touchdowns against the Lions. So, if it's a Lion or a Seahawk in Alexander Mattison's way and he's the guy and no Dalvin Cook, good Lord, watch out. He's the golden handcuff. He should have been rostered in every league prior to this. If he's not, you are lucky you found yourself a potential league winner.
And here's what's crazy. You look at the schedule. So let's say that Cook is out for an extended period of time. So you get Detroit this week, and then you get Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's no longer the steel curtain. They're the soft curtain. There's no doubt about it.
TJ Watts just landed on the COVID list, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a whole heap of trouble. And then at my Bears in week 15, they're giving up north of 100 rush yards per game at the running back position. The Rams in week 16 at home, you know, give or take. But again, the volume's going to be there. Then at Green Bay in week 17. I agree that Alexander Mattison, if he is the starter over that phase, will win people fantasy titles. It's unmistakable. So congratulations if you stashed him. And if you're in a league where he is still available, find more friends. That's all I got. You need to raise the competitive level, man, because, again, no business being out there on waivers. All right, before we get out of here, Brandon, on this edition of the Fantasy Fast Track podcast, let me get your thoughts. You know, we already touched on Taysom Hill, but let's get your thoughts on some additional guys of interest maybe in some of those challenging leagues that you might want to kick around in your brain. What about DeSean Jackson? Huge catch on Thanksgiving Day, went for a touchdown. You know, he's playing that log bomb specialist role. Is he, you know, worth kicking the tires on? He's right now 92% available in Yahoo.
Yeah, you have a handful of names listed here. He's the only guy I care to talk about or get, you know.
No Andrew Walter?
No Andrew Walter. No James O'Shaughnessy.
Well, Dan Arnold's out. O'Shaughnessy could be a guy. What about like Brevin Jordan?
They traded for Arnold because because they had O'Shaughnessy and that wasn't good enough for him back then. That could mean actually good things for LaVisca Chenault. I keep saying that. I keep going back to that. Well, I'll throw LaVisca Chenault into the
7 catches for 40 yards this week for LaVisca.
Yeah, that'll play. It's about as good as you can do on the waiver wire anymore. But DeSean Jackson, here's why I like him, because Derek Carr throws a good deep ball, because they're most, you know, they're going to run the ball competently with Josh Jacobs, but they're going to throw the ball a lot to Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro. And those are short intermediate area options. And it's going to lull the defense into targeting those guys. And they're going to take their shots with DeSean Jackson. You know, they're going to select probably 3-4 different times. They're going to go deep to DeSean Jackson. I think, you know, you can start banking on that happening. We've already seen, I think, a 30-plus yard catch in each of the last two games. And I just think that's going to be something that they keep trying to mine. And I think they're well set up for DeSean Jackson not to be a high-volume guy, but to have games similar to this going forward. So for that reason, DeSean Jackson has some interest to me as a calculated dice roll.
I'm with you there. And again, you know, in flex situations in like 14 team or deeper leagues, I got him on roster under 14 team or deeper league with multiple flexes. And I will, you know, clack and roll those dice, you know, looking at the rest of the season schedule, in particular, looking at that Cleveland matchup, week 15, opening round of the fantasy playoffs, as bad as the Browns have played defensively down the field here, down the home stretch. Hell yeah. I'll take
Washington next week. You like that one?
Yeah, I do. Oh yeah, that's a five eggplant emoji matchup, no doubt about it. All right, yeah, I'm not going to devote any time or energy to those other stiffs I threw out there. That was just filler. So with that, that is a wrap on this edition of the Fantasy Fast Track Podcast. Please follow Funson on Twitter, at Brandon Funson. Follow me there, at Noisy Cuevas. Drop us a rating and a review if you enjoy this show. And as always, until next time, adios, amigos!